Asia.
What are a couple of the things that Coach Prime was steadfast about that you would say these are the things he would say or do that really set the tone at the top?
He's a man of perfection. So throughout practice, throughout meetings, you got to have your notebook there. He's very, very attention to detail oriented. So that alone sets him apart. And not only that, I mean, he was the hardest worker in the room. I mean, at the times where he played and even at the times when I was coaching, I mean, he's going to pour his all into us, and it's only right to pour our all into him. And that's why we got the results we did at the time he was there.
To have another conversation here in Miami, Florida with my man John Huggins in the 529 studio. Shout out to Keisha and her entire team. As you know, John wore number 10 and number 6 at Jackson State most recently, completed the HBCU combine, was off the charts, a ton of noise about him entering this year's NFL draft. It's a pleasure to have you on, John Huggins.
I'm blessed and thankful to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, I'm smiling because as John came in today, I was like, so how many of these have you done? And John said,
None. My first one.
This is John's first conversation. So, hey, want to shout out to my man, John Vaughn at Select One Sports. Thanks for making the connection and facilitating and allowing for this to happen today. Let's start, John. I mean, you know, we love having young men, especially young men who love the game of football on this show, but we love going back to the childhood and seeing where, like, the idea and the love and passion for sports and team sports and competing all began. Can you take our listeners back a little bit into your childhood? I know you were born in the Bronx, first 13 years in New York. Can you talk a little bit about that?
For sure. Well, I started out in the Bronx, born and raised. My first love was actually basketball. So, at my younger days, I mean, I had a basketball hoop in the crib. I mean, I always played with it, and I had a bigger brother that played college basketball as well. So I feel like that was my first love. And, when I got my Xbox, 2006, I first got my Xbox, and my first game was Madden. So, that was my first game I played. And as years went by, I just got more curious about football. So, when I first got to Florida, I started playing football, and ever since that, I fell in love with the game. So,
I love that. So, I know you are the youngest of four. Did any of your older siblings play football? Did you have someone close in your family that you watched really excel in this sport?
Not at all. I was the first. I think I was the most curious about it.
Yeah.
And I liked contact. I was a rough little kid because I'm the youngest, so I'm used to getting bullied and all this good stuff. So, yeah, that's where I fell in love with the game. So,
I love that you also dated how old I am, because I actually remember when Madden first came out, and you said you got your Xbox in what year?
2006.
2006. And you know what? That's to me, that's also really interesting to think about how video games shape the mindsets of young men and women and get them to open up their minds to playing other sports, right? You said your first love was basketball. How long did you end up playing basketball?
I played basketball until my high school career was over.
Okay.
But once I got to Florida, my eighth grade year, I started playing football, and my love for basketball just continued to digress. So my senior year, I think I told basketball to hold off real quick and fully put all my focus into football. And after that, that was all she wrote. So,
when you think about your football playing days in high school, who were some of the best athletes that you played with that left a mark?
I played with Tank Dell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Adonis
Texans,
Boone.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Tank Dell, Adonis Boone, DeMarcus Adams, among others. Tank Dell is probably the most notable one for sure.
What position were you playing through high school?
Safety and running back, tight end.
Okay. And which position do you think that you enjoyed the most at that time?
Honestly, safety. That's where I've been most comfortable my whole life. And that's where I saw myself playing collegiate ball at. So,
I love that. So when you were coming out of high school, can you take our listeners through what that experience was like and who was having the most impact and influence on how you went about making your initial college playing decision in terms of school?
For sure. Out of high school, I was blessed with many opportunities among many colleges. And throughout that process, I wanted to go somewhere where I would be used in the right way. I would be coached hard in the way that would allow me to be better every day. And I wanted to go into a situation where I can play right now. So, I mean, my first thought process going through the process would be looking at the depth chart and seeing how soon could I make an impact. And the coaches that are there or are coming in and their production as far as putting guys in the right position to be successful at the next level. So those were my two components of looking into a school.
And how did you narrow it down to Florida and finally make that commitment?
So at the time, I was committed to Florida State really throughout my my high school career towards the end. And Jimbo Fisher had just took the Texas A&M job. And at the time, I thought it was best for me to reopen my recruitment. So Florida was the next school to come calling. And I liked not only the brand as far as me going to the DBU, so to speak, and also that. And they didn't have too many safeties on my position. So I thought that was best for me to go over there and take my talents over there and play ball.
Was there somebody specifically at the program at Florida that had an influence or a real impact on you choosing Florida?
Not at the time. I just wanted to go to a brand where I knew what I was getting, the product I was getting out.
And so some of our listeners are familiar that obviously you finish your college playing career at Jackson State, right? Mm-hmm. You had a few pivots through college to finally finish an incredible career at Jackson State. Sure. Talk about what it was like to make the decision to finish the career at Jackson State and why you chose Jackson State at that time.
For sure. Through my first test of my collegiate career, I had a couple of hiccups, but then I had to realize that God is the one writing my story and I'm here to relay his message. So there's going to be a lot of people that try to write your story, but at the end of the day, when you keep your head straight and you know who's real, and that's the Lord above, and I'm going to stay true to his plan. And at the time, he told me that they had a great man, a warrior, Hall of Famer that can teach me the ropes and bring me along and show me what was right and was wrong. And coming out of junior college, I think that was the best situation for me. So that's how I ended up at Jackson State.
Well, let's take a step back. When you made the decision to pursue finishing your career under Coach Prime, who in your family or in your intimate circle of friends and influence was saying, man, that's a great decision, and I think that that is the right place?
I think everybody was. Just to know that you had the opportunity to learn from the best that played the game. And not only that, on and off the field, I mean, he's one of the best marketers in today's game. And not only that, I mean, he's one of the best coaches in today's game. So, I mean, that right there was the icing on the cake.
Yeah, I've heard many young men reference Coach Prime's impact as that of a mentor.
Yes, sir.
As that of, you know, him being one of his guys, but yes, being the mentor, the team captain, the one who really sets the tone at the top. Sure. What are a couple of the things that Coach Prime was steadfast about that you would say these are the things he would say or do that really set the tone at the top?
He's a man of perfection. So throughout practice, throughout meetings, you got to have your notebook there. He's very, very attention to detail oriented. So that alone sets him apart. And not only that, I mean, he was the hardest worker in the room. I mean, at the times where he played and even at the times when us coaching, I mean, he's going to pour his all into us, and it's only right to pour our all into him. And that's why we got the results we did at the time he was there.
Are there a couple daily or weekly disciplines or rituals that you learned while playing at Jackson State under Coach Prime and that incredible cast of coaches and mentors that you'll take forward into your future playing years in life?
For sure. Always be early, always be on time, and on time is being early. So showing up 15 to 10 minutes before anything is scheduled. And also, I mean, just to pour your all and then whatever you're investing to, because at the end of the day, you get in what you put out. So if you're pouring your all and investing everything in you to the product is going to sail the ship. So just pouring your all into whatever you desire.
And for those that are going to be listening to this show in the future, I will tell you, Mr. Huggins was early today, and he was an excellent communicator and manager of expectations on our end. So I'm going to give John a shout out on that one. So Coach Prime, for real, you did some great work with this young man. Can you think back to this last season? What were one or two of the most memorable moments that you'd say, hey, no matter how long or short my career may be, these were moments that I will take for the rest of my life with me?
Honestly, this last season, it was a bit different. The expectations were a bit different as far as, you know, not having Coach Prime there. I mean, that was our guy. That was our leader. And a new regime having to just continue the legacy that was already put down for us. So that was a little different. But just being able to just to be a sponge and to be unselfish and to do whatever the team needs to be done to win. I mean, to win. So those were the lessons I learned from this season, just to be selfless and to be where you're at.
For the many student athletes, especially the young men who are playing this incredible sport of football, what are one or two of the tools that you think they should have in their toolkit as they continue to play and compete in this sport?
A work ethic, that's first. You're not going to be able to do anything or get anywhere if you're complaining about how much you're doing or complaining about how many reps you got. And just be, like I said, be a sponge, be able to learn from whoever the adults are around, whoever the coaches are around, just to be able to learn and apply it to your game.
It's not your words, but my words. I heard you say a couple things. I heard you say have incredible work ethic, 100%. Right? Put an incredible effort into their work. I heard you say be a student of the game. You know, walk into every room with a desire to learn. Love those two. But I also heard another micro comment in there, which is focus and obsess about the things you can control. So if your playing time's not there, if your reps aren't there, don't complain. Focus on the things you can control, 100%. Which again are the effort, the energy, the enthusiasm that you referenced earlier. Did I hear you right?
100%. Coaches these days are not going to want somebody that whines about playing time or is complaining about how much money they're getting or essential. But people want somebody that's willing to, like I said, pour into the game. And at the end of the day, coaches don't want somebody that's going to be nagging them and, you know, over their shoulder about things that are important.
Outside of your parents, your siblings, and Coach Prime, who's someone else who's had a really meaningful impact and influence on your life and the young man you are today getting ready to enter the NFL draft?
100%. I'll say Jordan Poyer and Jamin Sherwood, both great friends of mine. They continue to pour in great as far as information that I need to know as far as the next level and also as going through the way of life. Jordan's a lot older, so he has a better understanding of, you know, what to expect and what's to come, and also just how to carry yourself. And my guy Jamin, he's one of my great friends because I think he has the same mindset as me as far as being prepared and just being detailed in everything he does.
Christy, I was smiling when John just said that Jordan's a lot older, and I'm like, man, I'm like 20 years older than Jordan. So. So John Huggins is here with his Mexican grandfather, Manuel Mezcla. My man, Jordan Poyer, you're young, buddy. You are young. Talk about the HBCU combine, man.
For sure.
You balled out. I mean, you literally performed outside of your cleats that day. We heard so much great noise about you. What a blessing, man. I mean, the hard work just coming through in a one-day circus that you put on at that place. Sure. Talk about that.
Man, it started in January, honestly. January 2nd, I got a Bomberitos. I put my foot down. I knew what was at stake. I knew what I was labeled as, but at the end of the day, like I said, the man above is the one that writes my story, not anybody else. So,
why did you pick Bomberitos? I mean, I'm familiar, know a ton of guys go through there. How did you pick Bomberitos?
Because I mentioned my friend is Jordan Porter. So, yeah. I want to say 2 years ago, I had the opportunity to go out there and see it for what it was, and I loved it. The type of work that is done there is gritty. It's in the sun, but it's everything that you need as far as, like I said, putting the work in to getting the product out. I mean, it's everything that you could ask for. So that's ultimately why I chose there. And as far as the combine, that's why the numbers that I put out came out, because I knew I put the work in to get those numbers. So, yeah, I went out there and...
Which one were you most proud of? Which number did you put up on the day of the combine that you're like, man, I'm just so proud of this one because I put in a million repetitions into this thing and I really showed out?
For sure. My 40 for one.
Solid.
40, my broad jump, because I didn't even know I was going to jump that far, honestly. I was jumping 10 sixes before I left, and then I jumped 11-1, so I kind of shocked myself. But what was most important is my position drills, because... at the next level, I'm kind of seen as an outside linebacker type safety. But me coming in as a safety, I want to show that I'm able to move with the best of them. So that's the abilities I wanted to showcase. And I think I did just that.
Yeah, I love it. Somebody was quoted as saying he's an athletic freak who can run, hit, and turn the ball over. We'll see if those things are enough to get his name called next month. And I think right now the critics think it will.
For sure, 100%.
Who's the biggest person in your corner right now as you're getting ready for the combine? And outside of John Vaughn and his incredible team in Atlanta, but who else is the biggest person in your corner as you're walking into draft night?
My parents, honestly. I mean, they've been my backbone. They've been with me through all of my collegiate career, through all my life. So I owe it all to them, my parents.
I've heard some of the greatest men that I've watched play this game of football tell me that it takes extra to be great. Mm-hmm. The guys who eat right, sleep right, work out right, drink a lot of water, show up to training camp, show up to practice, show up to the weight room, all of those guys, what that gets them is that just gets them to be competitive at a level of being average. Mm-hmm. The great ones do extra work. The great ones do the extra work. Talk about the extra work that you think about from when you went to Bomberitos in January. What were all the extra things that you have been doing that young men in the future can learn from to get ready and show up at a combine the way you did? What are some of those extra things?
For sure. Like I said, I'm a student of the game. So when I get home, I love to watch me at least 30 minutes to an hour of football games. I mean, it's cool to watch highlights, but I feel like when you watch the flow of the game and how players react and each and every moment, that'll only better your game. And get on the board. You're not going to better yourself if you're not drawing it and looking at it every day. So I try to get on the board for at least 15 to 20 minutes, draw each or a couple formations that might trouble the defense, and draw the adjustments for each route, each concept, just to know where to be and to know how to handle each situation.
I love that. Who are the people? I've also heard a lot of the guys say, hey, man, you really got to control the controllables. And one of the main things we control is who we're pouring any time and energy into and who has access to us
100%.
When we're locked in and focused the way we are. Can you talk a little bit about who are those people that have access to you right now to make sure that you're ready to play at that next level?
For sure. And I think my younger self, I think I had trouble in knowing that. But now I have a great understanding.
Well, say a little bit about that. What do you mean by saying that?
By saying my younger self, as far as when I first entered college, I tended to let people that shouldn't have been in. And me learning from my experiences, I learned that you can't let everybody in. Yeah. You can't, because energy is big in this life. The energy you allow in is the energy that's going to put out in this world. So I mean, I'm all for good energy and great energy. So that's why my circle is really small. And I still talk to the same people I've been talking to for years. The people that I let in is people that I know that'll make me better, that'll make me a better man, that'll make me a better father, that'll make me a better player at the end of the day. So, like my mother, Jordan Porter, Jamie, my father, a couple other family and friends, I just like to keep my circle filled with great energy and great vibes, and that'll put out a great product.
When you think about draft night, who are some of the teams that you're like, man, in my dream life, these are the teams where I would love to just call my next home.
Really any team.
I love that.
I want to be able to do anything, because I know when whoever invests in me is expecting me to do everything for them. So I don't mind whatever team decides to call my number on draft night, but they just know they're getting everything out of me as far as for the team, for the city, for the community. I just want to be a blessing to whatever team sees me as a blessing.
I love that. I just want to be a blessing. Sure. That's beautiful. Who are some of the guys that you enjoy watching on Sunday right now?
Kyle Hamilton, Kyle Duggar. I like watching people that are similar to my build, similar to my size, so I can take things from their game and implant it in mine, and or I can see differences in their game and see what not to do or how to do it. So I like to watch people that are similar to my build. Marquise Bell as well from the Cowboys. I just like watching people that are similar to me so I can take things from their game.
Who are some of the receivers in the league right now that you're excited to see what it's like to be on the grass at the same time with?
Man, I can't wait to see my boy Tank Dell again.
Ooh.
I mean, that's a receiver that had a great year last year. Tons of respect for him.
Yeah,
but
blessings.
He knows what it is. At the end of the day, it's all love. I mean, we're from the same city. So that's somebody that I would just like to see because it just means more.
That's beautiful. So we project forward. You have an incredible 8 to 12 year NFL career. Man, you are still going to be really, really young.
Sure.
What have you started thinking about life after football?
I want to be a college coach.
What?
That's my aspiration.
Unpack that.
Well, I'm a dude of knowledge. I'm a dude that's, you know, been through a lot. So I feel like when that time comes, I'll be able to have a good foundation of telling young kids what not to do or how to conduct themselves in a professional setting. And I think I can recruit with the best of them. So I think I'll be a great advocate to whoever wants to believe in me and take me in to be their coach.
I love that.
Sure.
I love that. College coaching aside, any other passion, hobby that you really enjoy and you look forward to pouring more time into?
Not as of right now. I'm an open book, so I don't mind hearing things out. But as of right now, college coach is definitely on the forefront of my mind.
That's it. I love it. John, I've really enjoyed investing this time with you. Any final thoughts or comments that you want to share with our listeners?
I thank you, Manny, for your time. I thank you for giving me the platform to speak my story, and I'm blessed to be here.
People who want to follow you, where can they find John Huggins on social media or online?
You could find me at jhug06 on Instagram. You can find me at jhuggins_23 on Twitter. And those are the social medias I'll be on.
I love it. Hey, shout out again to John Vaughn. Appreciate you, Select One Sports. John Huggins, the athletic freak coming out of the HBCU combine, entering the NFL draft. My man, it does look bright, and I'm so excited for you. I can't wait to see you ball out on Sunday. My son Atlas and I are going to be in your corner all season long, all right?
Sure. Thank you for your time. Thank you.